Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, kind of hanging in there with Paul this week as he's focusing on the faith part of the Legacy and Faith Show this week with the journey of faith. We started this series last week, Paul, a lot of interesting information.
That's right. So we're going to continue that discussion, the journey of faith, and it's great to be here back in the studio. So let's give it another crack, shall we?
Okay, well, let's look at this. Some of your ideas about how faith works in our life. And the interesting scripture, too, I've always loved that one. Every promise of God is yes and amen in Christ Jesus, which is a pretty radical thing.
That's right.
But you expounded on that last week.
That's right. That's 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God in him are yes and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. And so we looked at that scripture as a foundational truth to set up that God's promises are always yes. Anything that he has said, he is going to perform. As a matter of fact, he sets over his word. He watches over it just to perform it, is what Jeremiah says. And so, therefore, we looked at also the integrity of God, that he had no one greater than himself to swear by. So he said, by myself, I promise by my own integrity, by my own character, that I will fulfill every promise to you. So that was the promise to Abraham, but it carries forward to us as well, because we know that through the new covenant that we've received all the promises of Abraham. So therefore, that promise and integrity of God comes forward to us by faith through Jesus Christ. And so that was the real setup of God is faithful. His word is true every time, and so we can trust his word. And then we finished the discussion last week with just a peek into what is the enemy's desire, what is Satan's desire, and we found out some of his purpose is to set himself above the name of God. He wants God's lordship. He wants his kingdom. He wants his praise. Of course, I think the enemy already knows by now that he's not going to get any of it, so he's really ticked off. Yeah. So that's always a good thing. But it set up the discussion for, well, if God is faithful, and I see a promise of God's faithfulness, I see a promise that is supposed to be mine, then why is that not being manifested in my life? And there is a real resistance that we want to talk about today is what is the scheme of the enemy? Because we're not supposed to be ignorant of his schemes. We're supposed to understand who he is so that we can appropriately have a counterbalance and a counterattack. So that's what we're going to look at today is some of the schemes of the enemy so that we can be prepared as Christians and build up our faith so that we can take that next step in the journey of faith. So as we look at that, and as that was a little bit of a background, the next thing we need to understand and realize is that this domain, this earthly domain, is currently under the jurisdiction and under the power of Satan. This is not God's domain right now. As a matter of fact, there are many scriptural references to that. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about this earth like a roaring lion, seeking who he can devour." In Job, both in Job 1:7, Job 2:2, every time Job went before God, God says, "Well, where are you coming from?" And Job said, and the devil said, "Oh, just walking around the earth here and there." And so, so what we see is that the enemy has free reign over this earthly place right now. It is his domain to walk. As a matter of fact, we can't walk in a place that we don't have a legal right to be in. And so if I don't have a legal right to be in Canada, then I can't walk there. As a matter of fact, if I start heading northbound on I-5, I come to a little thing called a border patrol. See, if I ran that without permission, well, I might lose law licenses and other things, but that's a whole nother story. But ultimately, I am going to have the Canadian police, I forget what they're called right now, but they're going to do a very good job at stopping me. Why? Because I don't have their permission to enter into their country. I don't have a legal right of entrance. And so what we see by these first couple scriptures is that the enemy, Satan himself, has a legal jurisdiction in the earth realm to be here and to walk freely about it. Now, we also see that he's just a roaring lion, right? And so I'm sure many of us have heard discussions that all he can do is roar. There's really not much teeth or bite back there. However, the whole point is that he has free reign of this earth. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, Paul says that the God of this world has blinded the minds of those that do not believe, that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, the image of God, should be revealed to him. So Paul, both Peter and Paul acknowledge that the enemy is the God of this world. And that is after the cross of Jesus Christ. That's after the cross. So the cross has transferred authority of death, hell, and the grave. But we did not reclaim the authority of this earth yet. That, as a matter of fact, is our job. As a matter of fact, we talked in the first discussion, in the first session of this journey of faith, that faith is a partnership between God and us. It is our responsibility to take back this earthly realm by the power of God through the authority of Jesus Christ that he won on the cross. And so the enemy has a legal right to be here on the earth. This is his domain. In addition, in John 12:31, Jesus called Satan the prince of this world. The prince of this world. So even Jesus acknowledged the enemy's dominion on this earth. If we look also in Luke 4, that's where Jesus was led out to the temptation. Okay? So in Luke number 4, as I quickly find it in my word as I talk, we know that Jesus was sent out by the Spirit to be tempted. And in verse 5 of Luke chapter 4, it says, "And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto Jesus, all the kingdoms of the world in a moment in time. And the devil said unto him, all this power I will give to you, and the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me." So the power and the glory was the enemy's, "and whomever I will give it." So we see here that the enemy has all power and the ability to elicit the glory out of this earth because they were given to him, and he is allowed to give it to whomever he wants. Well, what's interesting in this scripture is that Jesus did not come back and say, "You know what, Satan, you're a little confused here. Actually, your theology is wrong. All power and glory is my Father's, and so therefore he has dominion on this earth. You're mistaken." No, it's not there. So Jesus acknowledged by his acquiescence to the temptation to say, "I agree. The power of this earth, the glory of this earth is currently yours. It is not mine, but I'm going to take back the authority of it so that we can trample on your head." Now, also, if that was not the truth, in other words, if Satan was not actually speaking the truth at that point in time, it would have never been a temptation to Jesus. And so in order for it to be a temptation, it has to be something that we could have actually taken advantage of. So if this was not true, if this earth was not under the current domain of the enemy, then this would have never been a temptation for Christ to actually say, "You know what? I think I will bow down to you here today, and I think I will take the glory of man and the glory of this earth back to myself through your hand instead of through the hand of the cross by my Father." And so, praise God, he did not acquiesce to that temptation, but he resisted it and then move forward with his ministry. And so what we see is that Satan is currently the one who is in authority of this earth realm. Well, how in the world did he gain authority over this world? Well, we go back to one of the scriptures that we used, which is that Jesus said that in the beginning, he saw Satan be pummeled to the earth. He saw him come out of light, out of heaven like lightning. Also, a scripture that we used was back in Isaiah, which talked about that he was sent to the earth. So when Satan resisted and God in his angelic state, in his perfect angelic state, God sent him to the earth to have dominion and control over this area. But then God did something in his amazing wisdom. What he did is he said, but you know what? I'm going to put man there as well. Now, I have a lot of questions for God, and this may be one of them, but I don't get all the answers today. So therefore, someday when I get to see him face to face, we'll see the whole grand scheme, and it's going to be a beautiful thing. But right now, in our finite form instead of his infinite wisdom, God created the Garden of Eden. So we have to take a trip back to the very first book. We have to take a mild history lesson here and go back to Genesis. So in Genesis, we come to Genesis 2:15. In 2:15, it says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." In other words, to have dominion over it, to care for it. Isn't that an interesting scripture? God took the man and placed him in the garden. He didn't lead him there, but yet he created a section of this earth that was protected and hedged in from the enemy and placed man there to have dominion and authority. So we have to go back then into Hebrews and see exactly what this authority of man meant out of Genesis 2:15. So if we go back to Hebrews 2 and we start in verse 6, it starts out and it says, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you should visit him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor, and you set him over the works of your hands." There it is. That is Genesis 2:15. God set man over the works of his hands. "You put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all subjection under him. He left nothing that is not put under him. But now see that you have not yet put all things under him." And so not only was man put in the garden, not only was he put there over the works of God's hand, but God gave him all power and put all things under the subjection of man. So we're going to come back to this right after break, and we're going to tear this scripture apart a little bit more. It is a key component of understanding our lost authority and how we have gained it back through Jesus Christ and how we can then exert it back through faith so that we can be effective for the kingdom of God.
Some of the foundations of the journey of faith this week with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant, not doing so much estate and tax planning this week, but more of a Bible teacher focusing on our faith. If people want to, though, know more about your services, Paul, how do they get in touch with you?
Yep, our website is up and running. All of our podcasts are there, ways to sign up for upcoming educational sessions, and you can go to legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memoriesworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memoriesworthtelling.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
And back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show, Mark Holland, the co-host this week, but really sitting back and just enjoying this discussion about the journey of faith with Paul Grant. And getting right back to the Garden of Eden just
yeah,
a moment ago.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, where everything kind of started for
everything
us, right?
Everything kind of started. Our faith journey started there, and you're expounding on that.
Yeah, so we were just leaving off with Hebrews 2 and 7, which says that God made us a little lower than the angels, and he crowned us with glory and honor, and then he set Adam over all of the creation. In other words, back over what we find in Genesis 2:15. Well, let's take a quick look and tear this portion of Scripture apart just a little bit more, because it's really quite a key Scripture and a key component to understanding our faith journey. First of all, we're created a little lower than the angels, and God crowned man with glory and honor. In other words, glory is the position that we have, and honor is the authority that that position gives us. So what's the position? Well, now in the new covenant, we are positioned with Christ seated at the right hand of the Father, and the authority is given to us through that same act of the cross. That the authority is because Christ won the battle, the ultimate battle. His authority now can be given to us through faith. And so man was crowned with position, and he was crowned with authority. Well, think about this. So the enemy was cast down to earth, and he's thinking, okay, this is my domain. I've got it all. And then God pulls a 360 on the enemy and says, ah, but wait a minute. What I'm going to do is I'm going to set man, someone who is created slightly lower than you, but then I am going to crown him with my position and my authority. And as a matter of fact, that position and authority, I am going to give him all of myself. I am not going to withhold anything, but I am going to rest it in the hands of man so that he can tend over my creation. He will have ultimate authority over everything that I have set into place, which includes Satan, you. Now that didn't rest well with Satan. That did not rest well at all. Here he thought that he had finally some place to rest his hat and call home. And yet God says, but wait a second. I am going to make you subject to man and subject to my authority through man. And so therefore, Satan said, this isn't going to stand. I don't like this. So then we move on into Genesis, and we look at Genesis chapter 3. And of course, this is the great temptation. This was the scam of all scams. It was the lie of all lies. And what truly took place here was that the deception of man turned the belief system and the faith of man over to the enemy. We turned our faith from believing the absolute promise of God, and it turned towards the voice of the enemy. And by that single act of treason, Adam took off his crown and handed it back over to the enemy. And by that single act of treason, authority was transferred from what God had designed in Adam and in his creation over to the enemy. And there is why the enemy has free reign of this earth right now. Because man set up his heart to not believe the word of God, but to believe the voice of the enemy. And in doing so, took the crown with position and authority and willingly gave it over to the enemy. Hence, that's why when the temptation of Christ was, the enemy had the legal authority and the truth to say, I have all power and authority of this earth, and I can give it to you. Just bow down and worship me. There is the missing component. That's where the great transfer took place. How did it happen? We all know the story, I believe, found in Genesis 3. And it starts that the snake, the serpent, was cunning. He was more cunning than any of them. And he went to the woman. By the way, back in 2:15, the woman was not yet created. The authority and the discussion of Adam tend to hear, Eve had not even been created yet. It was Adam's responsibility to be the leader and to communicate what God had told. And so the enemy came in and began in his sneaky little way to talk to the woman. And he said, well, has God said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die? Well, that's a diversion off of what was actually said. If we go back, and it's God's word says, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it. It doesn't say that you shall not touch it. It says you shall not eat of it. For in that day that you eat, you shall surely die. So here we have bad theology coming out. The woman said to the serpent, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And so the serpent's response was, no, no, you will not die. In other words, God didn't tell you the truth. He's hiding something from you. He didn't fully explain the situation. His word can't be trusted. He's not the person of character. The integrity that he claims he has, he doesn't have. He's holding out on you. That's the voice of the enemy. That's the voice that says, relook at what I'm telling you. I'm about ready to shift your thoughts and have you focus on something that I'm going to tell you versus what the truth of God's word is. So the enemy switches the conversation and it says, no, you're not going to surely die, for God knows that if you eat of it, then your eyes will be opened and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And then when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eye, and it was desirable, then she took and she ate of it. And then she gave it to her ding-dong husband. So that's the setup that we have. We have the setup that the heart of man transferred their legal authority, their God-given authority, back over to the enemy. Because it looked good, because we believed the lie of the enemy. And I think we all understand that if that was us, we would have forfeited our rights as well. As a matter of fact, God darn it, I do all the time. I'm still walking by grace. I'm still walking this journey of faith. I'm still being refined into the image of Jesus Christ. And so even if I have some knowledge, even if I've been walking with Christ for 30 years now, yet I still rely upon him. And it tells me over and over again, I would have made the same decision. So we understand now that our legal authority was given away. Satan has the legal authority to be in this earth. He is the God of this earth. But Jesus Christ has set up a redemption story like none other. And there is where we get to take up for our next session. The redemption of Jesus Christ gives us our authority back, that we have the opportunity to now come and take what is rightfully ours. The crown that gave us glory and honor has been won back by Jesus Christ. And so we're going to continue our journey of faith next week. And I hope that this time gave you greater understanding of the transfer of authority, but we have the final victory.
Okay, some of the heart of Paul Grant, normally an estate and tax planning attorney, or actually always is, but taking a little break from some of his services, his discussion about some of the services he does, and talking about the journey of faith. Part 2 this week. if people, though, are intrigued and do want to have you, well, I'd like to have somebody who believes this way handle my estate and tax planning issues.
Yeah.
How do they get in touch with you, Paul?
Yep. Our website is up. It's legacyandfaith.com. Educational opportunities, past podcasts about estate planning. It's all there for your pleasure.
Legacyandfaith.com. This is the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Another show next week here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.